It's Thursday, and that means it's time to talk about technology here on The Takeaway. And I was joking about it a bit earlier, but it's actually a serious subject. The fact of the matter is that computer technology, engineering, they're mostly dominated by white males and increasingly people from South Asia. And for people in this industry, this is a cause of concern. To talk about this today, we have Marissa Mayer. She's the Vice President of Search Product and User Experience at Google. Also, Philip Harlow, Xerox's Chief Diversity Officer, and Donna Nelson, who's an associate professor of chemistry at the University of Oklahoma, author of A National Analysis in Science and Engineering Faculties at Research Universities. So, Marissa, it's accurate, actually, to think of engineers mostly as white guys or maybe people from from South Asia?
Well, certainly what we're seeing is that the majority of engineers are men, and that's true across all the different fields. The number of women are climbing. In most engineering fields, chemical engineering, and some of the environmental engineering in particular has been growing. In computer science, actually, it's the only engineering discipline that's seen a decline in women since 2000.
And minorities as well.
That's right.
So, Donna Nelson, you studied this, the National Analysis in Science and Engineering Facilities at Research Universities. Are the numbers declining in colleges as well?
Well, in some cases among the students they are, but happily we are seeing increases among the faculty. The increases are alarmingly slow, but they are the numbers among the faculty are increasing, which is very good because the faculty will be role models and mentors for the students, and so hopefully it will encourage the female students to persist.
Why is this there, this issue? Why do we have so few minorities, African Americans, for example, Native Americans, Hispanics, and women? Why are there so few of them?
Are you asking me?
Yes, Donna.
Well, exactly why. There's probably multiple reasons. For one thing, there's a historical problem, and so we've just only recently have started really focusing a lot of attention on this, and so we've started looking at this, and the numbers were very low when we started out, and we've been making very slow progress. A lot of people say too slow of progress, and so the increments are just too small, and so we haven't overcome the problem yet. To quantify the problem a little, if you would like, for example, in engineering, on average, we're increasing the representation of women at about 2.5% over a period of 5 years. That's 0.5% per year, and so it's going to take us forever at this rate to reach equality. And in computer science, over a period of 5 years, we've increased only 2%. So that's 0.4% per year. So you can see it's going to take us a long time at this rate. We're clearly going to have to to speed up.
Okay, so we're going to talk to Marissa about being the first woman engineer at Google in just a moment. But first, Philip Harlow, you're Xerox's chief diversity officer. Why does Xerox need a diversity officer?
Well, I think it's really nothing more than ensuring that we maintain the kind of focus that we have had the benefit of having a pretty good reputation as it relates to our historical efforts around equal employment opportunity, and it's really just a matter of providing oversight for a variety of strategies and initiatives.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but your reputation is one thing. That's totally understandable. You want to be seen as a company that's diverse.
Right.
But is there any business advantage to having a diverse workforce?
Well, we believe so. We believe, and we treat our diversity initiatives as a business imperative. And I think it's driven from the premise that, as a technology company, we recognize that our long-term success is based on the premise of being as creative and innovative as we can as a company. And we embraced a philosophy some years ago that we believe the more diverse we are as an organization, the more creative we're going to be, the more creative ideas, new ideas, that will come to the table. Diversity of thought will be, facilitated. So obviously the simple concept that says that, you know, we really don't want to have people in an environment that come from the same place with the same type of thinking. So we have a variety of strategies to try to facilitate ongoing integration of a diversity of ideas and interest within our work environment.
Okay, so Marissa, as I mentioned, you were the first woman engineer at Google, and you said on the Charlie Rose program that the founders of Google try to keep at least 25% of women. That seems such an arbitrary number. First, tell me how did you come to be the first woman engineer at Google?
Well, I was studying computer science at Stanford, and one of my professors gave my name to Larry and Sergey when they were doing recruiting. And Larry and Sergey actually were really thoughtful as they set up Google. They had spent some time trying to figure out what kind of company they'd like to build, and they had read various studies that said, you know, you really want a gender balance in the workplace.
It's, an engineer thing. They read a report that says they need 25% women, and they say, okay, we need 25% women.
Well, balanced in either direction. They basically said if you have a workforce that becomes less than 25% of either gender, communication and collaboration doesn't work as well. And so since obviously engineering and computer science is male-dominated, they said, okay, we really want to have the goal of 25% women in our technical area.
Okay, Marissa Mayer is the Vice President of Search Product and User Experience at Google. Philip Harlow, Xerox's Chief Diversity Office. And Don Nelson is an Associate Professor of Chemistry at the University of Oklahoma.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here? And maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.